CQ, calling CQ, calling CQ Black Friday, calling CQ Black Friday, W1WCR, W1 Washington, Canada Radio, calling all Black Friday contesters and standing by. Calling CQ Black Friday, calling CQ Black Friday. Here is W1WCR, W1 Washington, Canada Radio. Calling all Black Friday contestants, W1WCR, Black Friday specialty station, calling and standing by.
Hello, 1-2. Hello, 1-2-3-4-5.
Let's go ahead.
I wonder if you can hear this little pipsqueak 75 watts. This is WB4AIO.
Yes, I can. I hear it quite well, as a matter of fact. You're number 115 in the Black Friday contest. You are 5x9 in New Hampshire, over.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know there was a Black Friday contest. What's the prize if I win?
Yes, well, I just invented it, that's why.
Oh, okay. So there's no prize, though. Maybe we could change it to a White Friday contest.
Yes, well, in the Black Friday contest, the black stations get a 10-point multiplier.
Oh, wow. I better turn myself into a black station, then.
Yes, yes. One has to take advantage of these things.
Well, I can't stick around long, but I heard your long CQ Black Friday, and I just had to chime in. I'm in the middle of writing my radio show. And as usual, I'm late and will probably be up until the wee hours of the morning writing and editing and producing it, uploading it, and all of that good stuff. But good Lord, I couldn't pass up CQ Black Friday on 160 meters. you're just as strong here on 160 as you are on 75. You're between 20 and 30 over 9, a powerhouse signal. And I'm not running my amplifier, just barefoot to my inverted L antenna, so I'm glad you can hear me okay, Vic.
Yes, you're quite visible and well above the static, and I just got through working GW3XHG on the west coast of the UK, so I guess the signal is getting out.
Yes, I heard you do that, and that was really impressive. I could detect the presence of the other station, but I could not copy a single word. So my antenna obviously, or my location, or my antenna combined with my location, do not favor reception of whales as well as yours does. Of course, I'm also in a suburban type area, so my noise floor may be higher. My noise floor is about -105 dBm, which isn't bad, I guess, but it could be a lot better.
Yes, also you're much further inland, and that attenuates the signals. I'm not too far from the salt water, so that gives me an advantage.
Ah, yes. Very good. Well, I assume you're on the teardrop antenna right now. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's wide at the top and narrow on the bottom. And I've been out there getting it tuned up for this band. And I can operate pretty well between about 1910 and 1970 without having to go out to retune the antenna. It's broadband enough to cover that. And the optimum frequency is something like 1940. But I've got it here on 1920 because people expect me to be here at times.
Yes, the other day, I think after the Survival Net, you announced you were going down to 1920. I wasn't aware that was your frequency, so I have programmed it into memory now. So it can be one of those frequencies I check periodically. What kind of a counterpoise do you use with the teardrop antenna? Is it got a dedicated set of radials or elevated radials, or does it use your chicken wire ground? How does that work?
It uses my crisscross ground, plus it has some extra radials attached to it. But the crisscross ground is pretty big. It's like 200 feet by 300 or something like that. And there's a lot of heavy conductor lying on the ground, and the resistive portion of the antenna impedance is something like 45 ohms. So it's reasonably low, and it's got enough resistance so that it's not terribly narrow banded.
Oh, very good. So what kind of matching network do you use with it?
I have a hairpin. Right adjacent to the antenna. It's made out of copper tubing. It goes up 10 feet and it comes back down 10 feet. And then it has a couple of tuning capacitors along with it. And I can tune this up on 160, 75, and 40. I haven't tried it on 20, but I may do that at some later time.
Huh, very interesting. Someday I'd like to model a teardrop antenna and see to what extent it varies from a standard vertical. I would assume it would mainly vary in having a lower reactance and a wider effective bandwidth. I would assume those would be the main differences.
Yes, I think it raises the radiation resistance slightly to have a fat conductor. It's the equivalent of a fat conductor type antenna. And I've often wondered whether I should put up another one at right angles to what's up there now.
Ah, then it would be fatter yet. I guess you said the antenna's wide at the top and narrow at the bottom, so it's the opposite of most Americans.
Yes, it's wide at the top, and that tends to bring the current higher up onto the antenna. And of course, the top is flat, so there's a slight top loading effect too.
Yeah, it could also be regarded as an exclamation point antenna.
Yes, it is. It is an exclamation point because it has a bottle filled with cement hanging off the bottom end of it, and that makes the point.
Okay, that's really far out. W1WCR. WB4AIO transmitting with Flea Power on 1920 kilohertz.
That's very good. Making it up to New Hampshire in fine style.
Yeah, you're a solid 25 over on what is really not a very generous S-meter. So I would say you're hitting the same signal to noise ratio that you typically do on 75. And that, to me, this exclamation point antenna does better on 160 than it does on 75. On 75, it's down a bit from your horizontal, but on this band, it's right up to the same class as your horizontal antenna on 75.
Yes, I think this band is a bit friendlier to vertical polarization, and that might have something to do with it. But the dipole that I have on 75 has got a bit of gain to it, so that probably gives it the edge.
Very true. Very true. It's amazingly warm here today. It feels like early fall or late summer, maybe. It's 60-something this afternoon. It's probably a little bit less than that now, but I just went out to put out the recycling, and it's it feels really balmy. It feels nice.
Yes, it's the same here. It hit 60 here today, and I think it's sunk a little bit. It's probably around 55 right now. But it's been a beautiful day here, just ideal.
Yep. Unfortunately, I had to spend 99.9% of the day inside. My sweetheart is not with me. She's visiting her family. And so I'm by myself, and I have a ton of things to do. But if she had been here, and if I hadn't been quite so behind, I'm sure that I would have gone down to the state forest and just wandered around in the forest for a while. It would have been an ideal day for it. But alas, I sat at this desk almost continuously.
With the pecker on, I went out there and tuned it up. And I've got a sensing antenna that's about 150 feet from the vertical antenna. And that antenna picks up vertically polarized signals, rectifies them, and sends the DC back to a meter that sits in front of me here, so that I can tell what my actual radiation level is.
Oh, that's very good. So you're not deceived by power meters that read inaccurately at different impedances. You have an actual field strength reading.
Yes, that's correct. And I have a meter at the toning box out by the antenna attached to the same line, so that I can look at the actual signal strength while I tune.
Very clever, Mr. Misek. Very clever indeed.
What I would really like to have is a DC line from my reflected power meter, so that I could read that out there. That would make it possibly a little bit simpler.
Yeah, I suppose that would be fairly simple to implement. I guess another way to do it would be to have one of these wireless video cameras just looking at your SWR meter, and then have a receiver out at the base of the antenna.
Yes, that would be really nice. Maybe someday I'll get some kind of TV system to do that, but not in the near future.
Well, you seem to be doing well just as you are. Does this thing sound all right? I'm not monitoring myself right now. I don't know if I have RF in the audio or anything. I hope it sounds okay.
Yes, it's nice, crisp audio, and it's the type of audio that cuts through noise very cleanly.
Oh, okay, good. Glad to hear it. I normally monitor myself, but my mixer is actually broken, and I was trying to get rid of some RF in my audio a couple of weeks ago on 75 meters, and I said, okay, I'm going to switch the grounds around. And so I got out an alligator clip and started grounding this and grounding that, and I found out that an old power switch that I have on a piece of a homebrew control panel that I built, that old power switch must have an internal short, and the metal switch itself had hot AC on it. And so when I tried to ground that, trying to get rid of my RF, I drew a huge AC spark, and somehow or other a transient from that AC spark got into the mixer and blew out part of the mixer. So I'm sort of crippled here. I haven't been on the air very much because I can't monitor myself. Don't know how it sounds. And I have the parts I need to fix it, but when the heck am I going to get the time to fix it? That's the real question. That's always my problem. So I haven't been on the air for weeks because I like to monitor myself, but I just, even though I'm officially off the air, I just couldn't resist CQ Black Friday. It reminded me a lot of my friend Chuck, WA4GGL. He used to call things like CQ Heather Locklear, CQ Heather Locklear only, please. So I like creative CQs, WB4AIO.
They're fun, and of course, Black Friday is running out in a few minutes, so this is the last chance for anyone to get their Black Friday points.
Maybe I should stand by and see if anybody wants to get a Black Friday prize or QSL card. I'll just stand by for a moment.
I don't hear anybody. There's some kind of a contest going on CW on the lower edge of the band. I'm not sure what it is. I didn't stay there long enough to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't hear anybody either. Well, I'm going to get that special QSL card. So from special event station W1WCR. What does the card look like? Can you give me like a hint of what I'm going to receive?
I just invented this a few hours ago.
Okay. Well, you could make it any way you like then. I guess you could just have a plain black card. The background would be black, and your call letters and other information would also be printed in black, and it would be very difficult to read.
Yes, I could dedicate it to the old Negro space program.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, that was, what was that? NASA with the two S's. I remember that.
Yes, that's a great historical film. Dr. Kangaroo.
Yeah, I remember seeing that on YouTube. I've got a bad relay. That's another problem I have. Every now and then I key up, and I only have about 1/10 of my normal power. But I'm back up to normal now. Yeah, the space program. I don't know though. Is Black Friday somehow linked to the space program?
No, it's just that it has black in common.
Ah, well, I guess there are a lot of things that have black in common. There's black magic, the black arts, and one of my favorites, old black Cadillacs.
Yes. Well, there was a Cadillac involved in the old Negro space program too.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'd forgotten that.
It was the black Cadillac space rover.
Okay.
Actually, it was the moon rover, I should say. And it got there long before white NASA got there.
Yeah, probably it got there in the era of the largest fins, because the fins probably helped the Cadillac fly through space.
Yes, they stabilized the emergence from the atmosphere.
Yeah, I think 1959 was the greatest fin height, so maybe that was the year.
Oops, I think the relay must have snapped out.
Oh, I said 1959 might have been the year, because I believe 1959 had the greatest fin height.
Yes, that sounds about the right era.
Well, Vic, I think I better get out of here. I'm playing hooky from my deadline, and my deadline is in about 6 hours, and I've got, I don't know if I have 6 hours of work left, but I have many hours of work left, so I think I'll be up till at least 3, so probably I should get off the radio, but I think maybe I'll ride with you until midnight, and then Black Friday will be over.
Yes, maybe an AWGM will show up, or possibly WB8RAV.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking that night. RAV was quite weak, but his words were distinguishable above the noise. Steve was pretty loud. And amazingly, one time I heard KD0WSJ on here, and I don't know what kind of antenna he's using from way out in Missouri, but he was doing quite well.
Yes, he was doing quite well. And I know for many months he was barely copyable on 75 meters, and not to mention 160, and now he's booming in on both bands.
Do you know what kind of antenna he's using on 160?
No, I'm not sure. I'll have to ask him.
Yeah, whatever it is, I guess he's only running that, you know, old Kenwood station, but wow, he's way above the average signal from that part of the country, I think.
Yes, he went from marginal to exceptional. So he must have figured out what to do.
I told him to get it high and in the clear.
Yes, that never fails.
And make it full size for whatever band you're on.
Right. Is there somebody in there? I just barely hear somebody, but they're in the noise right now.
Not copyable here.
Yes, I think they must be way out west somewhere or something. Like that. I don't think they're Europeans. Anyway, I guess it's the right time of the evening to work Europe right now. I think the sun will be rising in middle Europe, possibly.
I guess that makes sense when it's their gray line. I guess we'll get a signal enhancement. I know that around, I don't know, maybe an hour or two from now, that Vatican Radio sometimes just pounds in on 75 like a local. But I haven't heard much of Vatican Radio lately ever since the LibertyNet moved up to 3995 because I'm hardly ever listening down around their frequency anymore.
What is their frequency?
I think it's 3975.
I don't think I've ever listened to it.
Well, we've been the victims of it when we were near that frequency, but maybe you never actually tuned it in, but they have totally wiped out the weaker stations on the LibertyNet on a few occasions. Back a few years ago when we were like constantly on different frequencies and quite often we'd end up somewhere within their sideband, passband.
Yes, we have a station in northeast Germany that operates on 3995, but I haven't been bothered by that recently for some reason.
Well, I've been keeping a pretty close watch on that. This is WB4AIO. There are two stations in Germany. One is on 3985, and the other is on 3995. And I can see them both simultaneously on my pan adapter when I've got the net tuned in. And they used to be about equal in signal strength when they first came on the air. And for some reason, though, in the last few months, the one on 3995. 3995, I should say, has gone down in signal strength. It's now about 10 dB weaker than it used to be, and it's distinctly weaker than the one on 3985. So either they've reduced their power or they've gone to another antenna that doesn't reach North America as well.
Well, their original antenna was an inverted V. The apex was up about 50 feet. And trying to think of how much power they're running. I think it was either 1,000 watts or 1,500 watts. I'm not sure. And, of course, it was AM. So their effective sideband power very large, but to drop 10 dB from that means that they're only running their exciter.
Maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they figured out that that the people who write the checks from HCJB don't actually listen to the station, so they might as well save on the power bill.
Yes, that's a possibility. But I was surprised. I went to their website, and they had quite a lot of information about the station, and they showed some of the equipment, and it looked like a ham station, actually.
Huh. I never saw the photograph. I did look it up in a couple of shortwave databases and saw they were running 1,500 watts, and I think it said something about the horizontal antenna, or you said it was an inverted V, but I never saw a picture. What kind of a transmitter was it?
I'm not sure. I think it was probably a homebrew transmitter of some kind, and they had a picture of the inverted V antenna, and it looked like, I don't know, it looked like somebody just didn't have very much at hand for materials or something.
Well, maybe if it was built very poorly, maybe part of the antenna has fallen down.
That could be. If the antenna has deteriorated somehow, that could account easily for 10 dB.
I guess it's now not Black Friday anymore on the east coast of North America. However, if there are any central time zone stations, I suppose they're still having Black Friday.
Yes, any central time zone station can still get a Black Friday contact from W1WCR, but the east coast is now shut down as far as Black Friday is concerned. You have forever lost your opportunity to get your Black Friday number for 2015, and I'm very sorry about that. Anyway, good luck in the contest.
And QSL via the Bureau.
Yes, all signals in the contest are 5x9.
Even the ones you haven't heard yet.
Yes, all signals 5x9, and we hand out signal reports like some people hand out bananas.
How appropriate. Okay, Vic, I guess I've played hooky long enough. I think I'm going to get out of here and resume producing my show. It was great to hear you, and I'm glad you heard the low-power signal from high in the Allegheny Mountains of western Pennsylvania. Maybe next time I'll have my amplifier on and my mixer fixed, and things will be more normal here at WB4AIO. 73, and good to talk to you. And always a lot of fun to expand my mind with your creativity. W1WCR, WB4 Aeschylus Icarus Oedipus, now saying bye-bye.
Before you go, Kevin, what antenna are you using?
This is my only antenna, same antenna I use on 75. It's a inverted L, 150 feet in total length. It goes more or less up into a tree about 70 feet, and then horizontally almost 80 feet, and then the last 10 or 15 feet drop down vertically at the end. But it's more or less of an inverted L shape, and the feed point is elevated about 7 or 8 feet above the ground. It has only two radials for a counterpoise, two 50-foot radials, by the way, for a counterpoise that are symmetrical, so they do not radiate, at least not significantly. And then I have a current ballon at the base, so I can feed this unbalanced antenna with balanced feeders. Then the balanced feeders come back to the shack, come in through the wall of the house, where I have another current ballon and a T-network antenna tuner, just a plain old unbalanced T-network antenna tuner, and that is being driven by the antique SDR-1000. So there you have it.
Sounds good, and maybe extending those radials for 160 would help, but I'm not sure what effect that would have on 75. Anyway, it's pumping in a good signal here, and I think when you get your amplifier, you'll be that many more dB above the noise.
Well, very good. If you're hearing me at 75 watts, you'll probably hear me considerably better at a kilowatt. So look forward to getting my station back to normal, but I'm glad it's working okay in the low power mode. And I like this antenna. I'm going to write an article about this antenna one of these days because it's a really good general purpose 75, 160, and 40 meter antenna. It works on the higher bands too, but that's kind of a weird pattern on the higher bands. But for the three lower bands, it works very well, seems to be very efficient, and it only uses up about, 70 or 80 feet of horizontal space, so it works great on small lots.
Yes, it's a good low footprint antenna, very, very fine. So anyway, I won't hold you any longer, and thanks for checking in, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, Vic, see you later. You can send that Black Friday QSL card to my regular address. Just make sure that it has all of the correct QSO information printed on it in black ink on a black background, and I will proudly display it on my wall. The only one, I think nobody else called you, so it's the only Black Friday contest QSL card. Special events Black Friday QSL to exist in the world. So hey, I'll be unique here. 73 WB4AIO clear.
Okay, so long for now, and good luck in the contest. This is W1WCR now standing by.